Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
So let's go into the Word. Come with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians, chapter 1. We will take it from verse 1. I'm continuing with my message that I began last week. Again, it's not a series, but I just feel like there are things that God wants me to say. Hallelujah. I believe that I'll preach for a very short time today. And I believe that I also have a word for somebody here today. Hallelujah. I might not talk to everybody, but there's someone that God has sent me to today. Hallelujah. If that someone is you, can I hear a loud amen? Amen. Glory be to God. So tell your neighbor, don't get stuck. Don't get stuck. Don't get stuck. I want to hear you. Tell your neighbor, don't get stuck. Don't get stuck. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1, we will take it from verse 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. Ephesus in today's time is in Turkey. Hallelujah. It's in that area of the world. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. Put your hands together for the word of God. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Amen. Not that God will bless you. God has already blessed you. It is available to you. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, say it's already available. Amen. Most of us here who have had children, you know, when you become aware that you are with child, most of the time, if you are a proper parent, you start thinking about that child, isn't it? And you start preparing for that child. Because you know that when the child comes into the earth, they need something to wear. True or not true? They need somewhere to sleep and so on and so forth. So you start making arrangements for that child. So our God is the best parent. There is no parent better than our God. You can put all the best parents in the world, they will still fall short to our God. Amen. Where did you get being a parent from in the first place? Are you listening to me? So when God was designing this earth and so on and so forth, and he had the intentions to make man, he had to prepare. So that's why the scripture says that he's already blessed us. Amen. Tell a neighbor, say, my lovely neighbor, God doesn't hate you. God loves you very much. God cares for you. And God has already made arrangements for you. Do they believe it? The only problem is that they are in heavenly places. In other words, these blessings that God has prepared for you, they are not at Edgar's. They are not at ShopRite. They are in heavenly places. And in heavenly places, you can't go there the way you go to Pick and Pay. There, you don't use money, natural money, to collect what is yours. Are you listening to me? So remember what I'm saying. It's already there. And what I'm saying is also important. It's in heavenly places. You see, this is what Christians miss. That's why you find a Christian, a whole Mzalwana, going to a Sangoma. Are you listening to me? chirping hens, listening to bones. They'll take that thing and put it in you. They'll give you things and say, bath with them. You're whole Christian. Why? Because you're struggling, isn't it? Because you are going through things. It's because you don't know how to get or connect to what is already yours. If you could just find out, how do I connect to those blessings? If you could just find out. But the truth of the matter is that they are there. The problem is how to get them in heavenly places. Now God said, be ye holy for I am holy, is the first example. Now you can't just live somehow and think that you can just start collecting things. There's protocol. There's processes that you have to follow and understand and apply. So it's up to you. Will you go and collect what's yours? Or will you just continue the way you are living and keep thinking that God can bless everybody but cannot bless me? Let's continue. Let's jump to verse 17. Well, let's start it from verse 15. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his glory and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Hallelujah. We went through this last week. Paul was praying for them that they will receive this anointing, this spirit, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of God. And Paul explains that when you receive this spirit, the reason why I want you to receive it is so that the eyes, your eyes will be opened. And when your eyes become open, you start noticing the call, the hope of the call of God. You see, someone who doesn't want to serve God or who has no desire to serve God, the eyes have not been opened yet. One time in my room, I was there lying down. I woke up that morning with the appetite for the word of God. Have you ever woken up like that? I said, I just need something spiritual this morning. So I started searching my messages and I found a message that had spiritual in the message. I said, yes, I need something spiritual. So I listened to the message. By the end of the message, the preacher was crying. And he was saying, yes, Lord, I will serve you. Yes, Lord, I will go anywhere. When he was saying that, it was like he's saying what is in my heart. I started weeping. I said to him, from today, I am yours. I will go wherever you want me to go. I will do whatever you want me to do. That was when I discovered my call. From there, I stopped being just a Christian. From there, I started following Jesus. There is a glory in being a servant of the Most High. Do not get stuck of just coming to church, sitting down and going back home. There's glory waiting for you if you can just take the decision, the step to say that, you know what? I want to take this thing seriously now. I want to go to the next level. I want to walk with God. Your amens are not blessing me.
Amen.
So Paul says that so that you can see the hope of his calling. And then he continues to say, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is. So there is an inheritance for you. But you have to see it first. Hallelujah. And then my favorite one. He says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power. Ay, 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 ay. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a power awaiting you that God has already given you, that is lying in your system, that is waiting to be activated, that is far above. Ay, 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 mashandala maka. Far above, far above, far above, far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, above every name that is named in this world and also in the world that is to come. The power is not just for now, but even after Jesus comes back, it will still be operating. But it's lying in you, dormant, unused, not operating. And it will never operate until you become aware of it, until you hunger for it, and you thirst for it. Lekato shatapa shitapa lakata repata kapola lekatala madosius. Shante, why are you suffering when your God has prepared so much for you? Sande e palatus le palabashakala. Somebody say, there is power in me. Someone say, resurrection power is in me. Verse 22. I also love this one. It says, and had put all things under his feet. These are the feet of Jesus. He has put all things under his feet. In other words, Jesus is above everything. Are you listening to me? I love it. And had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. This is what I love. The Bible says that we are the body of Christ. He's the head, we are the body. And God has put all things under his feet. In other words, when you connect to Jesus, all things are under your feet. Your amens are not blessing me. You are sick today. God is saying that sickness is supposed to be under your feet. You are being harassed at night. You can't sleep. Demons are tormenting you, talking to you at night. The Bible says that thing is supposed to be under your feet. Someone say, under my feet. I can hear you say, under my feet. I say it like a soldier, under my feet. Yeah. But you must be connected to it. Media, you don't want me to preach. This one, hallelujah. Did we charge the batteries? We did. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Do you understand that all things are under your feet?
Amen.
Under your feet. But you see, unless you see it, the power begins when your eyes open. That's why Paul was praying for the Ephesian church. that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. If you don't see it, the thing that is supposed to be under your feet can be sitting on your shoulder, controlling you, directing you, tormenting you. Some years ago, I was praying in the morning, and a thought just came to my mind about someone in the church. And there are some things that when you think, you know, I thought that I was thinking, but it was the voice of God. And it just, I started thinking about this person. Then, when I finished praying, I went back to the room. And as I got to the room, my wife was just waking up. And she said to me, I just had a dream. And she said to me, I dreamt about this person. And the person she was dreaming about is the person I was thinking about. And she told me her dream. When she told me her dream, it was the exact thing I was thinking. I said, Jesus. So I had to get ready, go to work. So I asked her, I said, can you please pray about this thing? God is telling us something. As she was praying, she said she had an experience like she's never had before. She said she saw this person's life. And from a young age, and she saw this person as the person was growing. To cut the long story short, she said she saw something sitting on his shoulder. Now, this person was a sickly person. Often sick. Do you understand? Going to doctors, often sick. So after the Lord spoke to us, the Lord said to us and said to Mama Rudy that this person is not sick. It's this thing that is sitting on his shoulder. Every now and then it will press his chest and he'll be struggling to breathe. And he will think that he is sick, but there is something sitting on him. Hey. So this person told me that I have an appointment at the hospital. They are going to do, he mentioned the procedure where they were going to put pipes in his intestines to check, man, what is the problem? So I said to the person, I said, look. Let me tell you, when you go there, they will check and find nothing wrong. Because the problem is not that you are sick. The problem is that something is sitting on your shoulder and is influencing your life. You can be a Christian, but if your eyes are not open, you can be suffering. Are you listening to me, somebody? Tell your neighbor, say, in the name of Jesus, from today, all things are under my feet. Put your hands together for Jesus. Now let's jump to chapter 3, which is where my message really is today, from verse 10. Ephesians chapter 3, reading from verse 10. Okay, let's start up it so that you know where I'm coming from. Let's start from verse 1. Are we there? For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you all, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto us, revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Verse 6. The Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I just want us to read verse 8 again. Let it just marinate in your spirit. Paul says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. In other words, he's saying that God has given me a special honor, a special privilege, and nobody like me to preach the unsearchable mysteries of Christ. Somebody say Jesus. You see, sometimes when you look at yourself, you don't see anything in yourself. Nandlanda was telling us in the morning that when God was speaking to Moses, Moses immediately said, you know, who, me? If you could only find out what God has prepared for you. The unsearchable mysteries of Christ. A little nobody like me has been given that honor, that grace to utter mysteries. Mysteries are secret things. For you to be able to speak secret things, it means that a God has to come down from glory. Step out of his glory, step out of eternity and come into time and begin to reveal mysteries to you. Who are you? Let's continue. Verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God. So there's something that God had hidden in himself. But God gave a grace to Paul that he will uncover the mystery and begin to share it. Who created all things by Jesus Christ? Verse 10 is where we want. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Put your hands together for Jesus. What a blessing. If you could only hear what the scripture is saying. There are things that God has prepared for you that has privilege that only you should handle. To the intent that even the principalities and powers learn of God through you. Do you know what the principalities and powers is? Angels. The scriptures say that angels learn about God by looking at us. I see you still don't get it. Come with me to Job chapter 38 from verse 1. Quickly. Job chapter 38. We'll take it from verse 1. Job 38 from verse 1. Are we there? If you're there, say amen. If you're not there, say wait for me. All right, Job, I believe, is just before Psalms. So if you locate Psalms, you'll find it quickly. Job chapter 38 and verse 1. Are we there? The Bible says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. So God is saying to him, I'm about to answer you, ask you some questions. I want you to answer these questions. Verse 4. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Did you know that the earth had foundations? God is saying, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who had laid the measures thereof? If thou knowest, or who had stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who had laid the cornerstone thereof? Verse 7 is what we're looking for. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now what does that mean? It means that when God was preparing to create the earth in eternity past, he says that the sons of God were shouting. In other words, when the earth was being formed, created, angels were already there celebrating what God is doing. Now look how old these angels are, and God has given us such an honor that you can have a revelation, understand the mystery about the wisdom of God, about the knowledge of God, about the life of God. You begin to download from the master, and the angels are looking and say, wow, I didn't know God was like that. Wow. No wonder Satan hates us like this. The glory that we have, the honor that we have, that God is revealing himself like he's never revealed himself before. God is showing himself like he's never shown himself, and is showing himself to mere men like us, to men of flesh, full of mistakes, sinners like us, and is showing the mystery, revealing the mystery, that even the angels are watching. Ah, Shanti. What a blessing. What an honor. I was listening to a man of God this week, and he said he was reading his Bible, and he was making some notes, and he was making some notes. And then he said he suddenly felt a presence in the room. Someone say a presence. And then suddenly he looked and he saw an angel, and the angel was watching the notes. I said, my God, my God, my God, my God. What an honor, what a blessing that God will reveal mysteries, that even the principalities, the word principality means that the beginning, in other words, things that were in the beginning, don't even know, they are watching and they are learning from you, and they are seeing God and the wisdom of God through his dealings with you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, look at this glory and honor. And then many of God's children will get stuck. They'll get stuck. So much glory is waiting. God wants to reveal mysteries. God can do it. I always marvel how Moses downloaded the book of Genesis. It was a download. He wasn't alive. God must have set him down in one of his 40 days fast and said, get a pen, get a paper, and start jotting down. In the beginning, I, God, created the heavens and the earth. Continue writing, Mr. Moses. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the earth, and the Spirit of God hovered above the waters. Moses is just downloading the mystery. Then God said, then I said, let there be light, and there was light, and I saw the light that it is good. Then God said, I divided the light from the darkness, and I saw that it is good. And that was the first day, Moses. Day 2, let me tell you what happened. And God was downloading the mystery. Now he wants to do that with you also. There are mysteries of the wisdom of God that have not yet been known. There's a woman of God called Catherine Coleman. Very powerful woman of God. One time she was preaching, and she always wears a white dress, long to the shoes. And when she talks, you know, and she's like, God is her friend. And one time, there were people who were trying to approach her, and the Holy Spirit just manifested himself in a wonderful way. A wind started blowing from her and blew the people. People could literally see the wind coming out of her. Ay, ay, ay. Now that woman, one of the greatest things that she did in her lifetime was she revealed the mystery of the Holy Spirit. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit is in the Bible. He's been around. Very few people knew him for who he was. When I read the Old Testament, I only find two people who really actually knew the person of the Holy Spirit. One of them is David. He said, God, don't take thy Holy Spirit from me. He knew him. He had a relationship with him. The other person is John the Baptist. Even though he's in the New Testament, but he was living under the law. I'll explain someday. Very few people. And it's been in scriptures. It's done. It's in scriptures. It's there. But people didn't understand the mystery of the Holy Spirit. One day, a certain man of God started allowing people to come to his church, and he was preaching. Are you still here? And when people come to his house, they'll start screaming. They'll start falling. They'll just start manifesting. And then they used to say, no. Don't be. The reason why this is happening is because a ghost lives in his house. They didn't know him. And they thought that the Holy Spirit was just a power. They thought that the Holy Spirit was just feelings. But when Catherine Coleman came into the picture, she started talking about the Holy Spirit as a person. She started talking about the conversations she'll be having with the Holy Spirit. She'll be just talking about the Holy Spirit as though she's talking about a real person who everybody could see, who you could commune with. So her life revealed a mystery that the Holy Spirit is not just a thing, but the Holy Spirit is a person. Who has feelings, who has emotions, who has power. Someone say a mystery was revealed. There are many mysteries waiting to be revealed by you. So don't get stuck. Don't get stuck. Don't get stuck. God is taking you on a journey. I'm telling you. You see, when you walk with God, I was reading Romans chapter 8 not long ago. Paul said that the present trials and troubles and persecutions that we go through are nothing compared to the glory that is awaiting us. So some people, they feel the trials, they feel the persecutions, and they get stuck, not knowing that God has prepared for them a glory. They get stuck. I don't know about you, but when I want one day just to be sitting there, and my house is full of angels just watching me as I'm dealing with God, principalities and powers. So when you get stuck, what it means is that your eye is starting to see something that you are thinking is better than where God is taking you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God has a future for you. God has a vision for you. God has a plan for you. God has glory awaiting you. And you are going there. But as you are going there, your eyes spot something that will cause you to get stuck. Can you borrow me my... A Am I still preaching? Are you still here? You've gone home. Now, for the last 5 minutes that I have, I want to show you why we get stuck sometimes. Oh God, have mercy. Are you here? The reason why people get stuck is because they look back. The children of Israel were taken from slavery. Are you listening to me? And God said, I'm taking you to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and with honey. So from Egypt, you couldn't see that place. You just had to trust God that He's taking me to a land flowing with milk and honey. So they began the journey. Now, every time there was some small anyana shaking, they will say, oh, but Moses, why did you take us out of Egypt? Oh, we missed the onions of Egypt. We missed the garlic of Egypt. They kept looking back. And they kept looking back so much that God said, you know what? I'm tired now. Because if you actually look at the map, Egypt is here. Israel is here. It's just, you can walk. It's not too far. I think somebody said that it's 2 days' journey walking from Egypt to Israel. So they kept looking back, kept complaining. Then God said, you know what? You people, you are making me tired. I'm gonna make you wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Why 40 years? Because I have to wait for all of you to die. Then when all of you have died, I'm going to use your children and I'm going to take your children into the land that I promised you. They kept looking back. Many Christians don't get where God wants to take them because they keep looking back. You are in your journey with God. And you see Manqoba passing by, you start shaking. Shatepe la kasupa la kadera. You start looking back. Shandala makura bashaka. And you forget the glory that is awaiting you. Are you listening to me? I've even seen people get stuck because of blessings. Blessings. Is a child not a blessing? Yeah. You see some God giving someone a child a blessing, but that blessing will cause them to get stuck. They stop seeking God. They stop chasing God. They stop being committed to God because of a blessing that God, they've become stuck. Why are you stuck? Ask anybody, say, why are you stuck? Am I talking to somebody? You've been praying for a job. Oh God, I name it. I claim it. I take it. It's mine. This year, I'm breaking through into my job. God answers you and you get stuck. Am I talking to somebody? There's glory awaiting you. But you are getting stuck. Tell your neighbor, say, don't get stuck. I want to show you a very dangerous scripture. Come to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 26. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 26. Are you there? Don't worry, these are blessings. Hallelujah. Are we there? Now, this is a story of Lot and his wife and children, because Lot had now gone to live in Sodom and Gomorrah. Hello, are you still here? And remember, God came to Abraham and God said to him, all right, this moving is disturbing me, so do the movements and finish. Sit where you want to sit and finish so that I can continue. Hallelujah. Are you happy now? So remember, Lot and his family lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. And God found that Sodom and Gomorrah had too much sin to the point that he decided he's going to destroy it. So because of Abraham's intercession, God went and told Lot and his family, get out of this place. If you don't get out, you will die with it. Do you understand? And the angel said to them, as you are getting out of this place, don't do it. Don't look back. Let's read verse 26. But his wife looked what? She looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. I was reading this the other day and the Holy Spirit said to me, do you know why she became a pillar of salt? And I said, no, I don't know. He said, because you see, the Bible says that we are the salt of the earth. So the Holy Spirit began to explain to me that she still had something to do, but she died before she completed it. There's still salt in her. She hasn't accomplished her destiny. She hasn't reached the place that God wanted her to reach. She hasn't experienced the resurrection power. She hasn't collected the inheritance. She hasn't experienced the calling of God. She hasn't downloaded the mysteries. And she looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Hallelujah. Please don't get stuck. There's too much in store for you. There's too many things that God wants to do for you. Some people, when they get married, they get stuck. Because they get stuck. Hey, why are you not at church? Pastor, wait till you turn to gigire washing. Hey, man. Are you the first person in this world who has gotten married? What type of washing is in your house that is not in our houses? You've gotten stuck. Are you listening to me, somebody? You've gotten stuck. Don't get stuck. Don't get stuck. Keep going. Keep pressing on. You have a child, still serving, continue serving God. Continue following God. Yeah, I was telling them the other day that my daughter, whether she likes it or not, her parents are servants of God. Whether she likes it or not. It means that she's the first one to get to church. She's the last one to go. Whether she likes it or not, it's her life. It's her life. It's her life. And during the week, I was just thinking about her, that she's growing. And so I don't want that when she comes of age, she starts saying that, Daddy, me, I want to go home. Go away. We're in church here. So I've started thinking that, okay, I need to now start working in her, that she will love God by herself. Yeah. Last week we were praying here. And I saw her walking up and down. I don't know what she was saying, but she was trying. I said, hey, it's working. This is what we want. If you can't beat them, join them. Because you are not going anywhere. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So the fact that I have a child doesn't mean I must stop serving God. The fact that I have a child doesn't mean that I must stop praying. The fact that I have a child doesn't mean that I must stop fasting. But many people get stuck and use their children as excuses. As you see me here as a pastor, it doesn't mean that I don't know what is to work. I used to work. When I used to work, I used to leave my place at 6:30 in the morning, and my daughter used to stay at my parents' house. So I'll go and take her there, leave her there at 6:30, go and work. And sometimes I'll come back home at 2 a.m. At 2 a.m. I'll come and collect her from where I left her and go with her and get back home. And that was the life I was living. But I never stopped serving God. I never stopped following God. I never stopped seeking God. Sometimes I'll be tired, but I'll continue loving Him. I will not let my job get me stuck from where God is taking me. I can't get stuck. There's too much. That job is little compared to where God is taking me. It's too much that is waiting for me. It's too much that is in my future. It's too much that is in my destiny. I will not allow anything to stand in my way. Hallelujah. Somebody falls in love. Oh, Pastor, I'm in love. I'm in love. So what? Everybody falls in love every now and then, but you shouldn't get stuck. You keep serving God. You keep praying. You keep fasting. You keep moving on. I don't know what type of love this is that keeps getting people stuck. Can I hear an amen in the name of Jesus? When I fell in love with my wife, we used to talk on the phone for hours. And what I used to do on Fridays, when I come back from work, I will go home and just get prepared, and I will call her around 8 o'clock and I'll speak to her. Then I will leave my place and go to church. Around 10 o'clock, I will finish my conversation with her and say, we'll talk tomorrow, okay? I love you, okay? And she said, I love you too. I said, powerful. And then, hey, why are you laughing? Why are you laughing? And then I tell her, I'm in church now. I'm about to go for an all-night prayer. And that church, I was thinking about it recently. That church, the way it was, it didn't have electricity. And the doors, you couldn't lock them from inside. You could only lock them from outside. It was frightening going there. And it didn't have like a gate. Anyone could go in and out. And I will go there on Friday after talking to my wife to be. I'll start praying. And there was no one, so I would buy candles and just put candles so that I can see. And I'll be praying. All night prayer, all by myself, all alone. Even though I was in love, my love for her was not greater than my love for God. My love didn't get me stuck on the way. There's too much glory awaiting me. Tell your neighbor, say, there's too much glory. It's too much. Too much. Too much. I don't know what type of love yours is that you can't pray anymore. I don't know what too much love yours is that you can't even go to church anymore. Yours is strange. Yours is uncommon. Yours is unprecedented. Yours is not the normal one. I know you won't say amen. Because even now you are waiting for Him to call you. You are waiting for her to call you. You are waiting. You are waiting. Am I preaching to somebody? Sometimes it's so sad when you see children of God getting stuck, when you know the plans that God has for them. Are you listening to me, somebody? Tell your neighbor, say, don't get stuck. Yeah. Don't get stuck. Think about the mysteries that you can get. That even the angels will be jealous of you. Who are older than the earth itself? Don't get stuck. Somebody say, don't get stuck. Somebody say, don't get stuck. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Let's rise to our feet and give God all the glory. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody? There's too much in your future. Listen to me. Hello, hello. Everybody, look at me. Even if your life looks like a zero today, it's too easy for God to take that zero and make something out of it. Did you hear what I said? It's too easy. It's too easy for the Lord. He's done it many times. You will not be the first one. David was a super zero, the least of the least, and God made him a king. Not just any king, such a king that when Jesus comes, he says that I am the son of David. Jesus is saying, I'm the son of David. I see people worry about their lives too much. That's why Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, he had to a whole chapter trying to tell people, don't worry about your life. Only seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these other things, they will come following. You worry so much that you forget about the kingdom. You forget about the righteousness. And even those things, they don't follow anyway. So rather just follow God. Say, neighbor, don't get stuck. Push your neighbor. Pull, just shake them, shake them. Shake some sense into them. There's too much glory. Your destiny is great. There's too much light ready for you. Please wake them up. Your neighbor is sleeping. Your neighbor is getting stuck. Your neighbor is seeing a boy. Your neighbor is seeing a girl. They're getting stuck. Your neighbor is by the job. They are getting stuck. Your neighbor has children. They are getting stuck. Your neighbor has just gone to school. They are getting stuck. Wake them up, please. Tell them to keep going. Hallelujah. Do they look like they are waking up? Put your hands together for Jesus. When I saw this, I was moved. That a small boy like me, God can show me mysteries that have never been known, even before the foundation of the earth, and moved me to my core. I'm ready to follow him to my last breath. When Paul's eyes opened, he said, I count all things but dung. Anything that I used to love, the job that I used to love, I count it but dung. The cars that I used to love, I count it but dung. Anything that was valuable to me is no longer valuable. The only thing I see is the knowledge of Christ. To know him, that's the only thing I long for now. That is the reason I wake up in the morning. That is the reason I work. That is the reason I sweat. That is the reason why I'm alive. To know him, to know his glory, to know his resurrection power. I'm going for that one. I'm going for that one. And I will not allow anything to stop me anymore. Even demons won't stop me anymore. Even the kingdom of darkness will not stop me anymore. I am on fire for my God. I am moving forward. I'm focused on his glory. I'm focused on the destiny he has for me. I'm focused on that future. I'm focused. There's nothing else I want but him. There's nothing else I want but him. There's nothing else I want but him. Open your mouth and talk to your God and ask him to give you the spirit that Paul was talking about that will cause your eyes to see so that you can focus on him no matter what may be going on in your life. Open your mouth and talk to him and pray.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-5912-858. God bless you.